Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume, improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit RackPorcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table. Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume. Improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials. Hello, food fam. This is the Walk and Talk podcast, where you will find the perfect blend of food, fun, and cooking knowledge. I'm your host, Carl Fiadini. Welcome to the number one food podcast in the country. We're recording on site at Ibis Images Studios, where food photography comes alive, and I get to eat it. We've got journalist and Walk and Talk culinary contributor Amy Drew Thompson on the show today to catch us up on the Orlando food scene. Stay tuned. Amy Drew is on deck. If you missed it, be sure you catch last week's episode with internet powerhouse and newly authored cookbook gal, Cassie Sharp. She's so awesome. Check it out, man. You're going to love it. I'm into quality made smoked fish dips and spreads. I know you are too. Check out our friends over at Crab Island Seafood Company. One of my favorites is the Crab Rangoon. I said it last time. I'm going to say it again. Visit them at crabislandseafooddip.com. Jefferson, baby boy. I mean, there are several elevated, wonderfully looking, delicious grilled cheese sandwiches on the menu today that you're making, which kind of dovetails into when Amy comes on, what she's got going. Amy Drew comes on, what she's got going on. And let's talk about it. What do you got?
Well, yeah, when you said what she was coming on for, and grilled cheese was one of them, and you asked, can you elevate them? I'm like, yeah. What's funny is I used to work for my previous job. One of the guys was a marketing person. His name was Vernon Blanson. And Vernon was always like, didn't know much about food. He was like, can you like make anything gourmet? And I'm like, yeah, well, we can do challenge. Every week the guy challenged me. We did a peanut butter. One of them was the grilled cheese. One of the grilled cheeses I ended up doing was, what do you do with grilled cheese? Everyone has to have a certain soup, right? What's the soup that goes with it?
Well, you know, bisque.
Tomato bisque. Mm-hmm. So what I did was I took mascarpone cheese and sun-dried tomatoes, rehydrated the sun-dried tomatoes, whipped them into a puree, then put them in, folded them into the mascarpone to give it a tomato bisque flavor. Used that as a spread. Then I used a white cheddar cheese with some fontina and then a little bit of Gruyere. So I layered that in and I just grilled the grilled cheese that way. So we're going to have that original one. Then we're going to be doing a riff on like a French dip. because you have the prime rib and you take it in the nice crusty bread and you dip it into the yuzu on the side and you eat it. So my thought with process was like caramelized onions, beautiful Gruyere, again, little Parmesan cheese and layer that you would like a French onion soup. But then I wanted to make it where I had the broth, the au jus, as being onion based that you can dip into the actual sandwich. So you'd have some fun. It's interactive. And then the third one I'm doing is I'm doing some smoked short rib. The short rib's going to have the pickled strawberries, and then it's going to have a whipped brie with guava. And then I put a little heat behind that because it's got a little bit too sweet. And then we have caramelized onions, and that's going to be on a grilled sourdough. Mm. Yeah. That I think is going to be the best, Sammy.
I don't know which one's going to be the best, but I can tell you this, we're switching things up every week in terms of whether we're cooking first or hitting a podcast first or whatever, but I'm super excited about, what's on the menu today, as I am also excited about, getting Amy Drew on the line. Hi, Amy.
I'm so suggestible. I was listening to Jeffrey talk about the grilled cheese, and I'm like, I want that. I want that. I want that. Like, and this is how every phone call of my life is. People are talking about whatever it is, whether it's like, milkshakes or cheesesteaks or sushi. And by the end of the call, I'm like, damn, I want that. It's my whole life. The struggle is real. And I'm glad that I'm in my home studio away from all those grilled cheeses.
Well, I'll tell you what, difference between you and I is somehow you stay in shape and I just keep getting larger. You know what I'm saying?
You are too kind, sir. You are too kind. The struggle is real, and it is, it's a lot of calorie counting. I'm sitting 1 foot away from the treadmill that I use pretty much every single day. I'm not lying. It's right here in my office.
Excellent.
When I'm on Zoom calls, people are always like, do you use that? I'm like, oh yeah. I use it. I won't even put anything that's remotely clothing related on it.
Smart.
Like I won't because of that whole stigma. Like, oh, it becomes like a clothes dryer. Yeah, I won't even, a sweat towel is the only thing allowed on this thing.
That's impressive.
I'm actually proud of you, Carl, because you didn't, when you said you're getting larger, you didn't do the whole scene from Airplane.
Leon's getting larger. Yes. Shaking my belly as we're.
I was expecting that.
I'm down for an Airplane reference.
Wow. Yeah, I think that.
So anyway, the grilled cheeses sound good. That's really what I was trying to say.
Well, I am. I'm digging it. All right. So let's talk. Let's talk what's going on in Orlando. What do you got?
We always have so much going on in Orlando. I'll do like a quick roundup of everything. We've got Magical Dining coming up. That starts in about 2 weeks on the 16th. This is a big deal every year. People love it. It's got a record 150 restaurants this year in its 19th year. For those unfamiliar, Magical Dining was started by Visit Orlando about 20 years ago. And it was sort of inspired by, the slow time of year. This is traditionally September, October, August, September, October, slower for restaurants around here. So it was something designed to kind of put butts in the seats and get people paid and, keep things moving. And several years in, they added a charity element. And so we have these three-course meals for a fixed price and a dollar. And now they have two price tiers, 40 and 60. They started that last year. A dollar or $2 from the $60 menu go directly to a charity every year, a local charity here in Central Florida. This year, that charity is the Mustard Seed. And you go to the restaurant and you have the option. You can always order off the regular menu, but if you want Magical Dining, they will give you a choice. It's three courses, fixed price. Things that are on the menu, there are enhancements. Some of the places do fun things, but it's delicious and it's fun. And last year they raised about $270,000 for the Lifeboat Project, which gives help to victims of human trafficking. So this year it's the Mustard Seed, and there are always a few ancillary charities that benefit as well. It's a great cause, and it's a great excuse to go try a restaurant that maybe is out of your neighborhood or something you've always wanted to try, but maybe it's, you're like, oh, that's kind of expensive. This is a way that you've got a fixed budget and you can go check them out.
And that's the Mustard Seed of Central Florida, correct?
Correct. So that's where the dollar or $2 is going. We've also got another benefit coming up, Taste Central Florida, and that one's really popular. That's coming up on August 10th. That's one night only, $200 ticket with massive amounts of restaurants with great prizes and all kinds of crazy things going on. It's like the premier food and beverage charity event coming together to raise money to fight childhood hunger. So it's the Coalition for the Homeless of Central Florida, as well as, oh my gosh, let me think. Why can't I think of the other charity? It's off the top of my head. Oh, of course, Second Harvest Food Bank of Central Florida, who I've written about, which I've written about in the past. But this is one fancy evening, and they have prizes like you would not believe. A lot of raffles where you can win something like $3,000 worth of booze and accessories for your bar. They have a wine cellar that they're raffling off. They're selling 300 keys to open the wine cellar at $50 a pop. And one of them will open that wine cellar and you win everything in it. And that's bottles from $20 up to one that I think is valued over $400. So, I mean, that's a nice windfall for a $50 investment. They've got a ton of other wonderful games going on where you can win things, gift cards from restaurants, wine bottles. There's a silent auction, but more importantly, there's phenomenal food and beverages. It's a $200 ticket, but it's a 4+ hour event with live entertainment and the whole shebang. So that's really fun and people love it. Well, so you can check that out.
You have the three of us are eyeballing each other on this $50 entry thing for the
$50. And they have it's bottles and bottles, scotch, rum, vodka, all, you know, brand name stuff. They've got mixers, they've got seltzers, they've got bar accessories, all kinds of things.
How many keys?
The liquor locker, I think they're calling it. Well, the keys are for the wine cellar. That's 300. So there's 300 and that's it. And they're $50 a key. And one of the keys will open the cellar. The liquor is a straight raffle, $50 per ticket. And so it's over 3,000. At press time, it may be more now. Press time, it was over a $3,000 value. So it's pretty crazy. You know, I don't know who's in. You're going to have to rent a van to bring that home. Whoever wins that.
Challenge accepted.
I fit everything right into the Jeep.
It all goes right.
Or my liver.
Exactly. Yeah. Bring egg crates and just pad that thing up.
Wow, that sounds great. By the way, before the show ends today, I want to make sure we state the dates, and I want to get those dates, and I want to put them on the put them in the description, and I want to push that. And Amy Drew, if you could, I'd love to get some representatives from some of these charities on the show. If you can connect, that'll be terrific.
Say it again. I'm so sorry. I missed that.
Yeah. I would love to get some of the, some representatives from some of these charities on the show. I would love for you to be connected.
Absolutely. It would be my pleasure. And just very quickly for anybody who's listening, Magical Dining starts on August 16th and goes through September 30th. And Taste Central Florida takes place on August 10th.
Excellent. What's this? What's the juju thing?
Oh, the juju thing. So juju is this wonderful izakaya that is turning two. It's been open for 2 years in the Milk District neighborhood of Orlando. And they are celebrating their anniversary with a series of chefs collaborations. Obviously, Juju does Japanese food and they have like a Kappo bar and everything. And they are going to be teaming up with chefs from across the sort of Asian compendium. They're going to have a Korean night. They're going to have a Filipino night. They're going to have a Taiwanese night. They're going to have a Thai night with local and one chef who comes from Charleston. But these should be really, really special and smashing and fun because it's a really, really fun place. They're always doing fun and creative things. Great chefs. It's going to be amazing. And it is a fun place. If you're a fan of Susuru, they opened a couple of years previous to that. This is their sister restaurant, which is closer to the city center.
Yeah, I want to know more about that. Is that something that's on your Instagram or how do we
this is something that you can read in the Orlando Sentinel and you can get the link to that read on my Instagram. Actually, all of these things I think you can connect to on my Instagram, which is at Amy Drew, AmyDroo. And I post these kinds of things regularly with links to the stories. But yes, you will find links to that. And you can just go straight to the Sentinel. Mm-hmm. To which you should subscribe if you live locally.
And then you have a couple of more. What are they?
Really fun this week. I spoke to the folks from Tao Te Ching, which is a very clever, fun play on Tao Te Ching. Not everybody gets it, but it is really funny. But everybody gets grilled cheese, right? And that's the whole point. So they do takes that are very traditional, cheddar and American, and then they do elevated takes that are fun and funky, like the ones our beer chef was talking about earlier. Really delicious, and that is all they do, is grilled cheese, and they do have tomato bisque on the side for dipping and sipping, of course.
They must have lines down the block for grilled cheese like that, right? I mean, they must.
When they're at breweries, I can't think, I mean, aside from pretzels, which also should be served with cheese, I can't think of a better pairing with a cold beer than a grilled cheese. I mean, I love pizza and beer. I love wings and beer. But dang, a grilled cheese? Come on. Cheese and beer is so good.
I mean,
you could put beer in the cheese. Yep. I mean,
this is killing me that we're not eating. We haven't eaten. And I cannot.
I'm not eating yet. I'm so glad that I'm home.
I know. Well, you should be here. But we figured out. The best logistics to do this, and I think it works. DBA, what do you got?
DBA is so fun. For fans of The Strand, which has been a very popular neighborhood restaurant in Mills 50 for years now, they recently opened a little sister joint right next door. And now The Strand has always been beer and natural wine. DBA has a full bar, which now services The Strand. So thing one is you can now get cocktails at The Strand, which is a big deal because some folks really, really do dig a cocktail. But this place is so chill, just like The Strand. It has great kind of elevated snacks. They have a chip and dip. They do these Old Bay potato chips with an onion dip that is like it hits all the notes of like the Lipton onion soup mix and sour cream thing that you always loved, or at least I did as a kid, but it's like everything leveled up and yet it's all right there. You know, they do some really, really fun things. They've got pretzel and they've got the Old Hearth pretzel and pimento cheese that they make in house. They've got beautiful fish. They've got beautiful pasta. It's kind of a small platesy kind of thing. So you can either go in there and have a cocktail and a plate or two and then go out into Mills 50 and go to your next spot, or you can cobble together a really nice dinner with four or five of these plates and just hang out. It's really, really great.
Amy, Drew, I'm telling you,
Carl,
this is a good, that's a good little group of info that you put together, their grouping of info.
I try.
But listen, here's the thing. So you're an actual real life in the flesh journalist, and I want to know, how are you picking stories? Like, is it something where you have all of these restaurateurs or chefs or people in the industry, are they knocking down your door to get some FaceTime, or are you just like incognito going out there and, you know, just putting stories together? How does that work?
Most of the time I am definitely incognito. I just go in, roll in like everybody else, and I eat my food. There's a few places in town, sure, where people have gotten to know me because I've met them, but most of them don't know me at all.
And, so you prefer
it's very, very nice. You just roll in. Yes,
you prefer
absolutely.
It
I prefer it that way. Oh yeah. 100%. Because I'm regular peeps and that's what I want to be. I don't want to get any kind of special treatment. I don't want anybody to know who I am. I was surprised that they wanted to put a headshot in the paper. That's the way it works. So, but yeah, no, nobody really knows who I am.
Yeah. Like with West Palm Beach, it was basically Jan Norris. The only reason why I knew her is because she came in and asked if I wanted to do an article, but her critics that would go out back in the day when food critics actually were... I wouldn't know who the heck it was, because that's what you wanted. That gave the restaurant more credibility because that person wasn't known to. So like what you said, Amy, is they weren't getting preferential treatment, and that's what you want. You want to know.
Right. 100%. Yeah. 100%. I can count. It's very funny. I can count on one hand the number of times in 5 years that people have identified me.
Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Yeah, which is good because that gives, again, gives you credibility for what you're doing. And it was funny because when we ended up going with the grilled cheese, I put on my social media and I asked what's their grilled cheese, and man, 47 responses. And one of them was, and I don't know if you about know about this one. It's one of the four, it's actually in Wilton Manors. It's called New York Grilled Cheese. And the dude was genius because he takes waffle irons and that's what he does. And he's actually patented it, copyrighted it too. It goes after people if they actually bite on his little repertoire of making a waffle grilled cheese.
How can you do that?
He did it. He was the first person that said, I'm going to do this. And he did it. He trademarked it, copyrighted it, and all of it. So he's got
That's
a lot to look at.
I feel like I've seen it. I feel like I've seen it in more than one place.
He's a social media, like the dude is so, he's like Cassie back. He's actually been doing it for quite some time. And what he would do is if he wanted to put a new item on the menu, he did crowdsourcing. And he would have people come in, and as they would come in, he'd be like, he'd have the two up there, and it'd be like the Fiadini against the Hernandez, and he would have it like the Parm against the Cuban, and people would come in and order it, and if whoever got the most votes, that went on the menu. And that's how he did it.
I mean, the Fiadini would probably come in on the number one.
Well, if they spelt it right.
Well, right.
What's the Fiadini? I want to know.
Chicken Parm.
Today it's the Chicken Parm. So that's my last name, and it just seems that even
I know it's your last name.
I know it, but not everybody may know that. And in like growing up in school, my teachers were the worst ones in pronunciation and spelling, believe it or not. And at this point, you know, we had ordered some shirts or whatever with our logos and everything. And sure enough,
they forgot a letter.
And
are you kidding?
No.
It's Fiannini.
Yeah, Fiannini. It's funny. It's a party.
So it's like a panini.
There you go.
Which is also a sandwich.
Right. So growing up Italian over here. No. So growing up, like, you know, when you have your cluster of friends that are all from the same sort of, you know, background or whatever, everybody's name sounds like a food. So, you know, I was fettuccine. That's what they called me because of Fiadini. But panini, panini actually works really well too. So good job, Amy Drew. Thanks. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right.
I'm going to have a panini for lunch now.
At least you don't have the last name of Schlissel. Schlissel,
I'm right. I'm going to have several paninis.
I'm having flashbacks.
Did you see what our buddy Jason put up on his social media with Lance and I?
I did.
The Schlissel?
I did. I absolutely did.
It was bronzy.
He's we need to keep him really busy.
Obviously.
Yeah. He needs to stay away from the Photoshop or whatever he's using there. 100%. Oh, my goodness. So Amy,
he's a huge fan of Amy Drew, by the way.
Listen, we keep talking about a bunch of stuff on the show and it never comes to fruition.
What are we talking about?
Like these field trips, like we're supposed to go to Orlando. We're supposed to go to your Pizza Bruno place and do all the like,
what? Let's make it a come to Pizza Bruno. I would love to go there. I haven't been in a while. Come to Orlando and let's do that and other places. Let's just eat.
Carl's ready right now.
Oh my gosh. Like, I'll tell you what, that was like the best thing I've ever heard. Come on, let's just eat.
He just smiled like a little kid got an Oreo cookie for the first time.
I'm smiling. That makes me happy. Hey, listen, food is the great mediator. It's the great connector.
Mediator?
Mediator. I just feel like it, you know, it deserves more. I think there will be less challenges out there in the world if everybody got together and had a little wine or a cocktail, nice food,
had a
panini, you know,
share. Yeah. I agree with all these things. And that's why it's a fun thing you know, as you guys would all agree, that's why it's such a fun thing to report on, and because people get excited about food. And the funny thing about food is that, you know, people disagree over it all the time, but it doesn't matter. It's not, you know, if you love a regular grilled cheese made with Kraft singles, or you love some crazy elevated short rib smoked Gouda thing, it doesn't matter. You can both be right.
Yeah.
You know,
unless it's sauce and gravy, because let me tell you, a friend of mine did that. He did the post and he talked about having sausage meatballs and oxtail, and he called it gravy, and I tagged you in it. I don't know if you saw it. So I went to school with Don, and then my old neighbor, Mike Zaccaro, another Italian guy, his family, that's where I learned about gravy. His family did it on Sundays and called it gravy. And it was a whole big thing. And I wanted to see if you're going to chime in.
It's very American. It's a very American Italian thing. Gravy. We did not call it gravy in my family, but I knew a lot of families that do and did call it gravy. I do not know. None of my friends who were closer to the immigrants called it gravy.
That's,
you know, my friend Nino, whose parents, he's first generation Italian American, nobody in that house called it gravy.
That's how we were.
Parents were from Italy, and nobody calls it gravy.
Listen, I'll ask Don and Mike. I think he was second or third generation. I don't know about Don, but I know like these guys are all like Goombas from, like, that's what they are, pure Italian.
Well, I've known a
ton of people up in New York who say gravy, but I think they're at least one generation removed. You know, like their grandparents were from Italy, but not their parents.
He gets so hot about this subject. His whole demeanor just changed.
Because the last time we had this conversation, I had cousins like the reaching out to me and I'm like, whoa, what the hell are you? What is this? You know, who says great? Like, we know that people say it, but we make fun of them. Like, honestly, we do.
Here's the thing. Like, when you have, and I've heard this about other different cultures, like Manish is another one that he moved and immigrated from India. His parents did. And the way that story, how his dad was able to get out of the Indian caste system, was that his German chef moved to New Orleans, and that's how his father moved to New Orleans. He didn't want to eat the food that his father cooked because it was Indian when he went to school. So he kind of like pish-poshed it away because he didn't want to be made fun of from the smells and all that stuff. That's the same thing, the reason why that gravy came about, because during Sundays, that's what people did back in the day when, if a German culture, or English culture, whatever it was, they were making gravy, meatloaf and gravy, or steak and gravy. So it became gravy for them. So it was like a hidden thing so they can assimilate better.
Okay, wait a minute. All right. That's something that I have to look into. But that's probably one of the first times you've made any sense on this podcast in 2 years.
No, I did something the other day. Well, that was being thoughtful. I was thoughtful.
You were thoughtful. Yes. No, but that makes a lot of sense, only because, you know, a lot of people, when they came over, they actually changed their names and everything.
Well,
to assimilate.
That was also because when they went to Ellis Island, names got changed because the idiot that was actually asking them to change their name. That's what happened to my grandfather.
Well, that too. But even, you know, post that, people were changing their names as to fit in and assimilate. So that makes a lot of sense. And that actually makes me feel good because it's not gravy.
No, I had that conversation. I guess you weren't listening to me because your blood was boiling so much. But that was one of the things I stated, was that it's not that they were in fear. They just wanted to simulate their culture better, and what way to do it than to call it something that everyone else knew. And they were also using some meat to it. So that instead of, to me, that's a ragu.
Yes.
Right? That's a ragu to me. That's 100% ragu, not a gravy.
The meatballs and the brujoles and the sausage is all in there. It's all in there.
We got to make brujoles
all day on Sunday, or maybe all day on Saturday, and then you eat it Sunday. That to me is the real move. But I don't really care if you, I mean, gravy to me, it seems like it's a New York Italian thing.
It is.
Or New Jersey, you know, like a Northeastern, but I don't care. I think it's fine. You know, it doesn't bother me one way or the other. I find words and phrases and the way language is more amusing, and I think it's a fun regional thing. So
I mean,
I think it's fine. You know, whereas my friend whose parents are from Italy, you know, direct. It's like, we know real Italians don't call it that. It's like, well, you know, whatever.
We were just talking about celery soda.
You know, I feel like it's like, let everybody call it what they want. They're still Italian. They're just a little further removed from the old country than you. Calm down.
Indeed.
It's funny because we were actually talking earlier about the different root beer, because John likes root beer. And I'm like, yeah, I like Dr. Brown's. I'm like, but I don't get the cream. I get the black cherry. I get the root beer. But celery soda? I'm like, who thought of that? That's just kind of weird.
And it's genius. It's not weird. Well, it is weird, but it's genius. I have opinions. They used to make a diet celery soda that was so good, but I think I was the only one who drank it, so they don't make it anymore.
I've never even heard of that.
I would drink that all day long. Like, I'm so sad that because I won't drink sugar sodas. Every now and then I'll take a sip of celery soda. I'm like, oh, it's so good. But it's too sugary, so I don't drink it.
I didn't even know such a thing existed. Soda? No.
Yes, it's celery. They don't say it's celery flavored soda, but it's CELRAY.
Well, of course they have to say that, because if not, if somebody's thinking celery soda, I don't know. Like, do you have to?
It's so underrated.
Do we need
it's
to do?
So underrated.
We need. I guess we're going to need to go get some.
Well, do we need to make like a Mirepoix soda? Is that what we're gonna do? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense.
Look at him pulling out the culinary.
You saw that?
I would taste it.
Yeah, he just pulled out the culinary terminology.
Soda might make a nice, like, sort of savory highball.
We can call one like the mother soda.
Gin and Mirepoix soda.
Gin and Mirepoix. I think that would be okay.
With like an olive in it? That wouldn't be bad. Sounds like it could actually be refreshing.
Listen, I was just at Universal Studios and I was at one of the Irish pubs, and I ordered a drink that had bourbon and cucumber liqueur. It was really good.
Hmm. Yeah, that's not two that I would put together, but I'll try
it. It was really good.
There's weirder things.
Yeah, I don't know what to say to any of this. We're off the rails right now.
celery soda is an acquired. It's probably an acquired taste. I don't think anybody likes it when they're a kid, and then it grows on them. Which is sort of how I feel about beer. Like, I don't really think anybody likes beer if they drink it when they're too young. I think they just drink it because it is beer, and then eventually they start to like it.
So I don't disagree with you there. I also, it depends on the beer. I recall having my first Heineken and I was like, man, this is like, wasn't good. But if you do like a, I don't know, like a lager, pilsner or something oaky, you know, nutty or whatever, you know what? Maybe so.
Yeah, so. But back in the day,
there was a lot of dad beer in my house. There was a lot of like, not, you know, there was like a lot of dad beer.
We drank Mickey's
in my house.
That's what we drank.
You know, it was like, I can't even think of like Meisterbrau. You know, like
the green ball, the green ball, like domed beer on the bottom shelf of the liquor store. It was right next to IP. What is it? The Pilsner. That everyone talks about. Like, we would either get Milwaukee or Blue Ribbon. Blue Ribbon. Yeah, that was the other one that we would drink. It was right next to Boone's Farm. Girls wanted Boone's Farm. We drank Mickey's.
Right.
Because it was cheap beer.
Yes. I don't remember that one.
Yeah. It was back in the day. I just remember.
I don't remember. God. I remember Mad Dog.
Boone's Farm. This is underage drinking, right?
Correct.
Are you talking about underage drinking? Correct.
Yeah. Or cusp. Cusp drinking.
There was no Boone's Farm that I remember. There was Mad Dog, but moreover, I remember wine coolers.
Or Schlitz malt liquor bowl.
Like the grand, that was like the parent of Zima and is now the great grandparent of whatever all these like seltzers are.
Yeah, the Truly.
I guess.
Zima, something different. I remember that those are horrible.
Zimas came out, like, I'm a little old for Zima. Like, that was either the younger end of Gen X or the oldest millennials were the Zima people.
That was 96 or so, right around there, 95,
yeah,
96.
Yeah, I was in 90. So there you go. So that's like way ahead. You know, like I was very legal by 96.
I was not drinking.
So I never even had.
I wasn't drinking it either.
I'm not even sure I ever had a Zima. I've never had Zima, I don't think.
In the restaurant business, because you have so many people trying to peddle their different liqueurs and liquors and beers and stuff, you definitely have stuff.
That makes sense.
So you definitely taste some really different things. But yeah, SEMA is one of them I tried and put down immediately.
Yeah, I didn't like it. It wasn't for me.
And it's funny because I noticed in my 30s, I stopped drinking beer altogether. 40s, I don't drink beer. Well, it's
because you gained 8,000 pounds on that. I can't. I
feel like I weigh like 455 pounds because of the yeast. I don't know what it is, but I just bourbon, vodka,
gin. I like beer better now than I did then, but it's too filling.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
If I have one beer, it's like I can't. I'm full. It's like eating four slices of bread.
Oh my God. All right. So let's get back on track here for a second. All right. Amy Drew.
We were still talking about food.
I know. I get it.
Yeah, that's what we're supposed to do, right?
Yeah.
But I want to learn. I want the audience to kind of get a glimpse inside the day in the life of a food journalist. And I know this is part of
deadlines.
My life is a little. Yeah, there's deadlines. I get my inspiration from everywhere. I get it. People, friends, readers, followers will send me things. I see things on social media. I get news that different restaurants are opening from marketing people. News of where to go could come literally from anywhere.
Is it that you mostly have to find your own topics, or is sometimes the paper kind of gives you some directive?
Once in a while, yeah, that happens. I remember the easiest example being when I first started at the Sentinel. That was when like the chicken sandwich war thing was going on. You know?
Oh,
and I remember
Who had the best chicken sandwich?
Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, it was like Chick-fil-A and Popeyes, right?
Yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah.
And I remember being at my desk and managing editor walking over to my desk, and we still had the newsroom, and I was working on something, and he was just like, "You need to go to Chick-fil-A and do a story on this." So I was like, "All right." So I just grabbed my bag and
out
I was
the
like,
door.
"Okay, I guess I'm going to Chick-fil-A." So I went to Chick-fil-A. I went to Popeyes. I talked to people in the restaurant over what they liked. And so that's like the first example that I can think of you know, trends leading. And of course, now I'm a little more wise to it. And so not necessarily need to be prompted. But sure, sometimes people, you know, will see things and be like, "We should write a story on that." And so I will.
Jeff, Chick-fil-A or Popeyes?
Popeyes.
I agree. 100%. Amy Drew.
Yeah, Popeyes was where I went to. I agreed. Popeyes.
I have to be honest.
I think it was just like crunchier and greasier, and I liked the spicy sauce better.
Yeah, that's what I liked, is the spiciness. So in the Brandon Mall, they have a Chick-fil-A. And then all of a sudden, I see that one of the outlets closed and they were having something. And it's now open, but it was Popeyes. And I thought, what a great marketing. And it's literally almost right next door. And what they did is their marketing. This is absolutely hysterical. We're open on Sundays.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
It's like a fair point. People still want chicken on Sundays.
I don't know what to say to that. But.
I thought it was brilliant. So, I mean, because here's the thing. I never want Chick-fil-A unless it's a Sunday.
You're just a rebel. You know
what I mean? Right, exactly.
But I can see like turf wars happening.
But here's the thing. I will say during this whole war with chicken, Burger King came out with the crispy, crunchy sandwich that they wanted to come in.
Man.
Let me tell you, the first time I had it was great. Ever since then.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because they're not putting.
I remember the old ones. Remember the old school ones when Burger King first came out with the chicken? But they had three. They had a French one and an Italian one and an American one.
Yeah, the American one was
back in the day.
Yeah, the Italian one had too much oregano in it.
I think that when you come from a place where you could throw a rock and hit a place to get a chicken parm, that's just not even like, I'm not having that.
Right.
I'll tell you what, if I was to choose, if we're talking about fast food and I know something about fast food, I'm picking the Whopper with cheese over a Big Mac or a double quarter pounder about 8 out of 10 times, just because the flavor profile, their fake smoky smoke that they put in there. I don't know. I prefer that. And I have a problem. If I'm gonna crave fast food, it's usually that. Now I will take the quarter pounder also. Like I do like those, but I'm gonna always go with the Whopper. What say you?
Me?
Yeah.
Are we taking?
I like a good Wendy's, man. It's always hot.
Why do you get? I gave you two options, and you're gonna.
Oh,
you,
then I go with Burger King.
Okay, that's what I want to know.
Yeah, I like the char flavor from that.
You're a rebel.
I am.
Amy Drew.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit rackporcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table.
Historically, my favorite would be Whopper, no onion, extra pickle, no cheese, just Whopper. But this was always my kind of secret go-to. If you're on a road trip and you order a quarter pounder with no cheese, nobody orders that. You get a fresh hamburger.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Any modification you normally do.
So just for the, okay, yeah. I love what you're saying.
So I would always order a quarter pounder, no cheese, and I would get a much better, tastier, fresher hamburger.
To piggyback on that, if you're driving and it's a road trip, if you stick with McDonald's cheeseburgers, you can eat them without really making a mess. It's such an easy thing to do and eat and drive. Just saying.
The nostalgia of that.
Go ahead.
The nostalgia of that burger he just mentioned is definitely the minced onion. I absolutely love that.
So do I.
That is a very, very signature flavor. It doesn't taste the same anywhere else. And I will agree with that. It's like McDonald's has its own kind of jam going on with that. I do not eat fast food regularly at all. Occasionally on road trips. And my go-to, Carl's going to laugh at me. My go-to is the Egg McMuffin. Because Egg McMuffin is something like, I know that it's, I can't remember, don't quote me, but it's basically like 300 calories.
310. Exactly, I just had one this morning.
There you go. So I know what I'm getting calorie wise because this is what I have to do. So if I'm desperate and I need something on the road, that is what I go with. It's a lot of protein. So it keeps me full and it's only 300 calories. And I know that. And that's what I get. Boom. Egg McMuffin and I'm done.
I got one more for you. Junior Whopper's 300 calories too.
Oh, is that true?
Yep.
Even with like all the mayonnaise. See, I don't know. They put mayonnaise on it. You don't know how much they're putting on it.
But that's the best part about the Whopper. That's the best part about the Whopper.
Order it with no mayo.
No. My God,
you got to have it my way.
No, listen. When you bite into.
You have to have the mayo. Listen, no, I have it my way because it's Burger King.
Yes, I get it.
The whole thing.
I totally get it. But when you're three bites into that Whopper and you get.
It's over.
Well, listen.
Because it's a Whopper Junior.
Well, forget the Junior. You're getting the crunchy iceberg. You're getting the mayo. You're getting the tomato. You're getting the. It's all in one like center mass, and it's so good. Like that's the part that I'm totally going
to check that and get that now and see what I think because I haven't had a Whopper. The last time I had a Whopper, I had an Impossible Whopper because I wanted to taste it.
It's not bad.
And
really, that's not bad.
It's really indistinguishable, largely. The thing about the Impossible Whopper that kills me, though, is that it's like the exact same calories, more or less, than the regular Whopper. So
841 calories.
It's a lot. Like I said, Egg McMuffin's 300, 841. Do you have this in front of you?
No, and I was just going to mention this. Like, what's astounding to me is that.
Making this up?
No, I'm not.
He's sitting here just recalling. His hands are folded. He's up on the mic and just spitting out numbers.
I'm like Rain Man when it comes to that stuff.
Oh. No. You really know the calorie counts on an Impossible Whopper?
All right. Really? So here's the reason why my book is coming out. And one of the things I utilize in the book is the Whopper. And I knew it was 841 calories. And when I wanted to go check out what the difference was between the Impossible and the regular, obviously it's just basically the saturated fats being animal and not animal, you know, at that point with the Whopper.
But there's just as many, right? The calories are really good.
Well, because you still get the cheese. You still get the mayonnaise. It's not vegan. So, or even vegetarian.
You get a vegan.
You're not going to get a vegan at a burger at McDonald's or Burger King because it's still going to have the cheese. It's still going to have the mayonnaise. So,
but at Burger King, you don't have to order that. So that's my question.
Yeah, you can. You can definitely
order a vegan version.
You can. You're just not going to be that much flavor to it. I mean, you're going to have what? Ketchup, mustard, no mayonnaise. John likes the no mayonnaise.
I can totally live without mayonnaise on my hamburger. I mean, it's good, but I don't have to have it.
Now, I'm not saying that you need to have glob of mayonnaise, but like a little spread of mayo, man, it's like it gives it a little flavor.
Listen, I don't mind mayonnaise, but it has to be a good quality mayonnaise. What they're utilizing is pure white.
Yeah,
and I have a problem with pure
white. Didn't we have this conversation?
Yes,
because I'm a mustard over mayo girl. If you force me, I'm gonna pick mustard.
Well, we know John's not going to pick mustard or mayo.
I like them all.
But I feel like
what's
we
wrong with you people?
I
like barbecue sauce over my condiment as far as ketchup and mustard and mayonnaise. I would always go
That's
for
ridiculous.
Good barbecue.
Who even picks that? I'm just kidding.
Me. I love the texture.
I am a mustard fan. I like because mustards are so different across the spectrum. And they enhance so many other things. Mustard is great mixed with mayonnaise, actually.
Oh, Dijonnaise. Dijonnaise. I remember that was a kick.
Yep. Yeah, for French fries. Mm-hmm. So, okay, so if
but we're on you don't call it that unless you use Dijon, I would imagine.
Correct. Correct. 100%.
So what are you putting on hot dogs?
Not my favorite mustard.
What do you put on hot
what
dogs?
What do I put on hot dogs?
Yeah.
I guess, like if I'm at the New York cart and these are my options. Mm-hmm. God, it would be tough. Probably mustard and onions. Although I do love mustard and sauerkraut. I like a slaw dog too.
Yeah, everybody. I think that's goes without. I mean,
what's my limitations as you're looking at and you just did the head nod to me.
Slaw dogs they don't have on our New York cart. So take that away. I'm going to go with mustard and onions.
So we're talking about a cart?
Yeah.
Onions, relish, mustard, ketchup.
Okay.
If it's loaded, if that's a loaded way, that's what I would do it.
I will eat all of what you guys just said, but my preference and go-to is ketchup and mustard. And I'll slay those hot dogs. I'll have three of them and you know, I love them.
There's a concept out in Las Vegas called Hot, H-A-U-T-E, dog. It's right next to Gordon Ramsay's
place. I've heard of
this. Oh my goodness. I spent $84 on hot dogs to feed the entire kitchen because those hot dogs were that good. No, Amy, I'm telling you, these are not your run of the mill hot dogs. These things were.
Do they make them and everything?
I don't know if
they make them in house.
I don't think they make them in house. I think it's the toppings they're using. I mean, like one was like a breakfast hot dog and it had everything you want, including the egg. Their vegan hot dog was incredible. Their one that had arugula, that had like a green, like spicy sauce on it, like a tomatillo sauce on it. It was just so flavorful.
You guys, this is, I am so upside down right now. Do you remember Hot Dog Heaven?
Oh, good. It's, well.
Is it still there?
I saw it, but in Fort Lauderdale. Fort Lickerdale. Right off of Sunrise and Federal Highway.
Yeah.
It's on like right as you're going to Federal Highway. It's on the north side of the street.
The straight side of the curve there.
Right. Yeah. That was gorgeous. I like that better than Starlight Chili. Is that the one?
Oh, yeah. Skyline?
Skyline. 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 I didn't like Skyline. Hot Dog Heaven?
I had my first Skyline Chili this year.
Oh, where? Really?
One opened here in Orlando. Yeah, and I think it's in Winter Garden, but like one opened here in Central Florida. Yeah, it's a big deal. Oh my gosh, the folks from Cincinnati were like nuts. They were so excited. It was really fun to go and see all the weird things they put on the hot dogs, and it was fun. That's, you know, it's a whole new way. It's a whole new Midwestern way for me.
I thought Skyline was going the opposite direction with locations. I thought they were.
Yeah, so did I.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I'm glad they're still around.
But this hot dog gave me an idea. Like Keith and I looked at each other and like, can you do this? I'm like, 100%. I looked at the guy and I'm like, he was the manager. We started talking. We were chefs. And I'm like, what's your like food cost? Around 26%. He's like 22 to 24%.
Oh, wow.
And it's 30 seats. 30 seat restaurant. That was it. It was so gorgeous.
And I bet you can just keep slanging hot dogs. Although, I mean, I wonder if people are... With everyone, you know, being so aware of what they're putting in their body these days, I'm just wondering if hot dogs...
They had the option, though. They had the vegan option. And that, to me, was spectacular because the vegan hot dog is not bad. There's some great ones out there. They actually, I think they had a chicken turkey blend, too, like you would for like a corn dog. But their options
have
were not just
Instagram, though. I have to just take issue. People being aware or concerned with. Yeah, I guess people are concerned. They want to know what they're putting in their bodies. But then they know and then it's not stopping them. Have you seen when it goes viral?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, come on. Nobody's stopping.
No. And it seems like it's the bigger, the better. Like everything has to be ultra biggie sized. Like I saw the one I'm on a diet. The guy folds a whole Domino's pizza into one slice. Have you seen that one? I literally looked at it and went, that's Carl. No.
That's me.
Have you seen it?
That no. No, that's funny though.
He literally takes it up and folds it into twos. And it goes from the large pizza into like folded triangle like this big.
I mean, I've seen where they would take that whole pizza, blend it. And just dump it on top of another pizza, and then you're eating that.
Look at the burrito that was the fa burrito. You didn't see the fa burrito?
No.
Dude, this guy made a burrito. It was like...
You see the stuff I send you.
We can't talk about it on air. It's like this big, round. It's like holding a football, and the guy stuffs it with the fa. He's got like... And the juice is on the side and he pours a little juice in it. And it's just anything that's, and Amy's right, anything that's ginormous. The people say they want to know what they're putting in their body, but they want the over-sensitized way of eating things.
They want to know there's a half a pound of cheese in it before they'll consider it.
Wow.
Is basically what's going on. Yeah, it's fun though. It really is fun. I don't know if it's good, but it's fun. To watch, you know, I mean, there are things I saw somebody the other day. I wish I could remember because I would love to give her a shout out. But she went to some place in Tampa that does like a 5-pound soft serve ice cream cone.
Why?
Do you know this place?
That's Jackson's in Hollywood.
5 pounds.
That's Jackson's in Hollywood.
Jackson's. That's in Dania Beach.
Yeah, that's
right? Dania Beach, Hollywood.
Yeah, that's what they do. Like the burp, which is a huge pitcher of root beer, and the top of it is all ice cream. Yeah.
Oh no, I never saw that when I went there. I always get the
kitchen sink.
But I'm like sink. Simple. No, I mean know. I would with a group of people. No, I like peppermint ice cream with that homemade hot fudge on in the sidecar.
Okay.
And whipped cream.
I'm fairly certain that we're gonna get people emails or posts about how, you know, we just ruined everyone's diet this week. I'm fairly.
I feel like I just do that. That's my job, essentially. But all right, go ahead,
Amy Drew. Here's what I really want to do. This I want to put a field trip together. Like we've said it a bunch
pizza
of times.
Bruno.
Well, pizza, but I want it to be like a circuit. I want to hit a bunch of places, you know, have a little bit. Okay. I want to spend a day where we go to like maybe four, five, six places, but we have a little bit of each, you know, like the popular stuff from each thing, do a tasting and just get out there, make some content and have a great time. Can we do this?
I'm so for this. Yeah, let's do it. Right, let's do it. 100%.
Jeff, are you down for this? I mean...
Yeah.
Okay. Lord. Okay. All right. We're going to finish up here and then we're going to offline. We're going to pick a date. We're going to do this. All right. Amy, say again how people find you.
Find me at the Orlando Sentinel. And you know what? Subscribe. The digital subscription is super cheap, keeps you in touch with what's going on, not just in the food scene, but in the whole scene all over Central Florida. You can find me on Instagram at Amy Drew, AmyDrWo. And I'm on Twitter under the same handle. Find me on Facebook and find me on the Let's Eat Orlando page, which is run by the Sentinel.
Love those guys.
Really fun. You can ask questions. Yeah, ask questions. There's thousands of members. Ask questions. Throw up what you cooked. All that stuff. It's really fun.
All right. We love it. Jeff, John, we didn't do anything yet in terms of food, but I know it's going to be great. Amy, thanks for coming on the show today. We will catch you on the other side, and we are out.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving, your partner in organization and efficiency.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.